experience is a great teacher, but man, there's different qualities of students of the teacher of experience.
Welcome to Evolving Your Workplace After Hours, where my co-host Kevin Legg and I share our two cents on hot topics in the business world. Kevin is a veteran advisor to organizations specializing in employee development. And I'm your host, Carol Schultz, fractional chief of staff and creator of the Chief of Staff Scaffold System. Combined, we have 50 years experience in this world. Let's get into it.
There's just a ton of stuff we could talk about, but if you don't mind, I'd like to give you a leaf from my work, and we can drop that little coal in the tinders and see what happens. So the thing that I've been looking at in my work, I'll just quickly, because some of your listeners won't be that familiar with me. I work on learning and teaching in the workplace. So we come alongside clients and consult with them about how they're going to learn and what they will prioritize as learning. Okay, so in the course of our work, we did this task where we were asking people to rate themselves on a whole variety of scores. This is not psychometrics, but one of them was, do you feel like you're a formal learner or a self-learner? And so that's the topic I want to throw out. And I'll just give you a little more subtext so that you can sort of see why I thought that was particularly of interest. Mm-hmm. This was a survey we did across about 100 respondents in two organizations that we work for. I know them. It just so happens we've worked with them for years. So I know these 100 people, you know, by name and by face. They went and scored themselves on this, are you a self-learner or a formal learner? Roughly to the tune of about 85-87% self-learners.
I love it.
So I think you already know where I'm going with this. Yeah. That would be one thing if I didn't know who they are. I would have laughed the way that you just laughed if I didn't know who they are. I could not believe it because I do know who they are. And I thought, this is fascinating. It's a self-perception question.
Yeah.
They all feel like they're self-learners, but I know them. And without disrespect to them, they aren't. They don't read.
Yeah.
They don't, as a practice, ask for feedback and advice a lot. I mean, some of those folks really do, but nothing like in the main. They don't generally assign themselves courses of learning or other ways of sort of leveling up continually. They don't do the classic metacognition or memorization that you'd expect from a true self-learner. So I thought, I'm taking this to Carol. What even is a self-learner? What's going on? What have you seen? I just now feel like things need to be discussed here. Yeah. And I think your listenership probably have encountered this if they're laughing the way that you are. Yeah.
You know,
okay, there you are. Coal dropped into tinders.
This is really a great topic. And, I think that when I hear that, it makes me think immediately of talking to companies, CEOs, and saying to them, how's your communication at your company? Oh, we're great communicators.
Yeah.
And I start doing my gap analysis and I go in and I talk to people at lower levels from the executive team and, you know, yada, yada. And, you know, the next thing I find out is, well, that's not at all the case at all. They're not good communicators. They don't have a culture of feedback anyway. So I think people tend to overestimate themselves often, right? So if I think of a self-learner, I think of someone who probably reads a lot of books. Mm-hmm. Books that might educate them in some way, right? I called myself out in my own book. I don't know if you remember reading about that, but when I said, you cannot learn everything you need from a book, I say, as I am writing a book, right? You just can't because there's not a two-way conversation in a book.
Yeah.
Someone is telling you something. That doesn't mean they're not incredibly knowledgeable on the subject, mm-hmm. Okay? But you don't get everything. You can't ask a book questions. You can't get proper coaching from a book. You can't get necessarily advice from a book or mentorship from a book, mm-hmm. Right? You need that from humans. So I believe that I might say, yeah, in part, I'm a self-learner, but I mean, good grief. I mean, where do I really learn? You learn through experience. I mean, I didn't learn to be a great headhunter by reading a book. I had to experience what that looked like to be a great headhunter, and why I, you know, and why I've often said, you know, it's maybe 2% of the headhunters out there.
Maybe
5%. It's very small, right? Or, you know, I didn't learn to be a great coach because I read a coaching book when I, you know, in 1998, I went through the process and I learned, and I had communication, and I had aha moments, and yada, yada, you know, all this stuff. And what I have to, what I really think might be the bottom line here on this, or the moral of the story, is that people are just not self-aware.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Carol, what would have happened in that survey if instead of me asking, are you a self-learner? I asked the question, are you self-aware? Right? Because it's like a paradoxical question. It's going to be like the liar's paradox straight away. If you say that you're self-aware, and you, especially if it's on a continuum, you rank yourself 10, straight away, you know that there's an error. Because, I mean, that's transcendent sort of mountain sage level territory.
Yeah. What's your opinion on the whole situation?
Well, okay. One of the things that you said, I think even someone like yourself might take for granted. You said, I have to experience it. I did experience it. But even there, in our line of work, we know that people with identical experience learn at a different speed because some people have the toolkit to go, all right, what happened? And
yeah, this is such a good point.
Probably for our all great benefit, that toolkit isn't just native skill. It has to do with, you know, a bit of maybe how you're raised or who taught you. But you go through, let's say in theory, you go through and you get absolutely burned by some headhunting process, you know, in the spring of your career. Okay, so depending on how you review that, you look back on it, you try to assess what happened, you bring in the expertise of others to assess it, that might count as sort of 1 point of experience or 50 points of experience where you go, okay, that was literally bad luck and I know because a veteran in the field explained to me why. Or you might go, it wasn't bad luck, it was terrible practice. You know, I said all the wrong things, I got the paperwork backwards from the way I should have done it, you know, I didn't cover my flank, and, you know, won't happen again. Yeah. So experience is a great teacher, but man, there's different qualities of students of the teacher of experience.
Yeah. You know, an old boss of mine used to say that teacher's only as good as the student.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought, yeah, that's actually really true. If you, you know, if you've got somebody who's can't learn, won't learn, doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want whatever that is, you're just not going to succeed. Well, I'm doing it my way. It's my way or the highway. Okay, well, good luck with that in business.
So there's probably too much reliance on military and sport as metaphors for the workplace, but sometimes they're really powerful, particularly because in military cases, the stakes are so high. People die if you don't learn your lessons, or other maybe even bigger things. Countries go down. And in sport, it's defeat. Mm-hmm. But in that arena, they've developed the after-action review. This is because you don't get a chance to role play something like, you know, a gun battle on the streets of Fallujah. I mean, you could sort of set up a scenario, you know, back in Texas where you're training your troops or something, but you don't get to role play such a thing. So the biggest tool you have in your kit is to go, we just came out of there, you know, 3 wounded, 4 dead. Let's go back through it. What happened? So they have this tool called the after-action review. It's incredible how little of that happens in the workplace, maybe because the stakes are low, but it's not that hard to come out of a pitch in the case of salespeople, or a rollout of an HR policy and say, let's just walk back through that. You know, what did we nail? What didn't we? What adjustments could we make if we, you know, had it to do all over? That's a self-learner. That is the behavior of a self-learner, and you learn it 10 times the speed as somebody who doesn't.
So what you're saying is experience is the self-learning.
Yes. So long as you actually take that experience in.
Utilize it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there is this other thought. I had a, you know, you were talking about books. So what's a book? A book like yours, like Power by People, is an interesting case study. It's unlived experience, right? So a very common and bandied about term now is lived experience. Mm-hmm. But a book is somebody else's experience, And so we have this like amazing tool as a species where we get to live somebody else's experience too, most especially if they take the time to write it all out for us and learn from it as well. So fortunately, you can actually go faster than the speed of reality in learning, in that you don't literally have to encounter all these things. And so that's another thing where when I look at learners in the workplace, they self-identify as a self-learner. My very first thought aligned with yours is like, show me your bookshelf. Open your phone and show me your reading app. Because what that is not, I like reading. It's I'm trying to live through experiences that aren't my own, so that I'm improving without having to make mistakes.
Right. And I really believe that books are fantastic to learn so much, but they're not the only way. They shouldn't be used in a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's often what happens is, to your point, I learned it from a book. I read a whole book on coaching. I don't need a coach. Mm-hmm. You're pretty not self-aware in that case, if that's what you think.
Yeah, that's right. And to me, that's a classic and a sort of low-hanging fruit. I think about it the other way, too. If you had somebody who's like, I don't need to read any books on coaching. I've just coached so much and I like think about it hard and like I do a ton of it. Be like, I don't totally know that I respect that perspective either, because you're saying only the channel, only the river of your experience and all the things you've learned from it is mm-hmm. sufficient. You're leaving a lot out.
Right. Exactly. I had somebody tell me recently that they were in a monthly group. And I thought, she thinks she's getting coaching. I don't think she is. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be similar to, Vistage or some of these other things where I'm not so sure they're not really getting coaching. They're just talking to other CEOs and trying to bring up, shared experiences. Somebody will have an aha moment. That is the valuable part of that, right? But that goes back to my comments about you need to interact with some other human or some other humans, because if I have a question, maybe I go to two different people, see what their answers are. To your point, different people perceive differently because we've had different experiences. Mm-hmm. So that is important. You get to the point, do I talk to 10 people and see what they think? You have to start working through it and then think, okay, this makes the most sense to me because of whatever. And I've met incredibly self-aware people who are not as self-aware, who are still lacking in some areas.
Yes.
By the way, none of us is perfect, right? The way I have to look at it is I don't know everything. I know a lot. That's for sure. I'd like to think that after 32 years, I've learned a lot. But the next thing you know, something's going to come up and I'm going to be like, never had that experience in 32 years. That was living in a blind spot. So I think the learning process in general, you have to look at it as it goes on. It's a lifelong process.
Well, so one of the things I think your listeners might be interested in this regard, there's two ways you're automatically going to think about this. One is, am I a self-learner? Maybe I'm a little delusional about the self-learner, Legg is talking about this and Schultz is talking about that. All right. Maybe guilty as charged. Okay, yeah. Fine. The other one is a lot of your listeners are responsible for people and people responsible for people and on down the chain. Double barrel question. How do you test before somebody joins you? If you just ask them, hey, are you a self-learner? They'll probably answer the way all my people did, right? They're like, you bet I am. Maybe even more so. And then I think what's the proof? I'll tell you quickly what is sort of my laundry list, because I now have to go back to my clients and say, hey, look, guys, I saw this. Let's be honest. We don't have 85% self-learners here. So let's talk straight. Tactical meeting review, which is sort of the after action review of the workplace, since there's no guns and death for the most part in the workplace. Reading, show me your reading practice and tell me what you've been reading. Another sort of two, let's say three together, advice, coaching, mentoring. What is your existing practice for taking advice? And then feedback, I'll lump in with those ones. And then the last one is, this I'm getting from an author, Roddy Rodiger, who talks about just the science of learning, metacognition. To what extent do you know how your wetware works? How frequently do you think about the way that you're thinking? So I haven't refined those. You can probably tell by the way I'm talking about them. But I have to go back to these two organizations in particular and say, we need to start kind of creating an audit of this So we bring that number down to whatever's realistic. I know 85% is not realistic. What is it? I think maybe an answer to those questions. Okay, that took a little while for me to explain, but that's my rough toolkit for myself. Mm-hmm. For your listeners who have all, you know, responsibility for people, or for you thinking about headhunting or managing staff, what's the proof of somebody being a self-learner?
Yeah, well, I think it's how we choose to define it.
Right. Okay.
It's, you know, so our last episode, we talked about performance reviews, right? And if there's not a specific, let's call it a competency model, nobody actually knows. It's subjective. So, you know, inside of that, we have to determine, how do we define being a self-learner? And what percentage of our learning should that be? 20%, 50%, 85%? I like to think that I self-learn no more than 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's just, to me, someone who has, you know, made a career out of, I might say, studying the human beings, not like a therapist, defining, you know, the 50%, you know, that I've made a career out of studying humans. And when I say that, I don't mean like a therapist, right? Or even a coach, you know, which I've done for 27 years. What I mean is really actively listening to people. Now, that's, of course, part of coaching, right? Is that active listening skill. But you have to really think about, what does this look like? How much, by listening to people, I have learned so much, and understanding how certain people think. Doesn't mean I know everything about it, certainly. I said to somebody earlier today, I said, look, I'm not breaking my arm to pat myself on the back, but, you know, when I was still a headhunter, I had candidates tell me often enough, you know, Carol, I've never told that to a recruiter before. You know, and by the way, that's not, like I said, that's not me breaking my arm, patting myself on the back. That is any great listener. Listening with intent, right? And being present opens up a different way of thinking for the person on the other side, right? So that to me better be at least 50% of how you learn, if not more.
It just occurred to me, and it should have right at the outset, one of the huge tidal waves that's coming down this line is the use of AI as self-learning. And so I'm happy to sort of make a prediction. We'll see when I get called up on whether this is right or not. Mm-hmm. It'll be an easy prediction to skirt because it's sort of theoretical. People who are roughly, let's say, a 7.5 out of 10 as a self-learner. Suppose we had an objective measure, right? They're 7.5 out of 10. They seek advice. They read a lot. They, you know, study themselves and their performance. Okay. I think those folks with AI as a tool will all go up a point. They will all increase 1 point. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of thinking about how I would measure that. And then anybody sort of below, so 7.4 or below, I think they will all decrease a point, actually accelerating. So if you are unfortunately a 3 out of 10, you'll be like a half a point out of 10 over, let's say, 10 years with AI around as a self-learner. Because I can already see what's happening in the workplace right now. Somebody who knows how to prompt, use a tool, et cetera, use it as a coach, use it to provide feedback, use it to sort of double check their thinking, is already in this bracket. And so now they just have a wicked coach for free at constant access. 2 a.m., they can just hit that coach up with a question. And folks over here are using that to basically do versions of Googling. And so you can see things like they can't remember stuff, right? They're like, what is the process for, like, oh, a great one is Excel, right? Please show me how to color code according to bands of number ranges. Great. Mm-hmm. 3 days after that's done, it's lost. And so you just have basically that person's an extension of the robot, whereas the first person, the robot's an extension of them. All right. That's my gambit. That's what I think is likely to happen with this business of self-learning.
All right, listeners, let us know what you think about self-learning and Kevin's prediction.
Yeah, and set your calendars to hold me to account exactly 10 years from now.
Thanks for listening to Evolving Your Workplace After Hours. I'm your host, Carol Schultz.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Legg. Don't forget to click follow to hear more. And please leave us an honest review and rating so we can continue to improve and bring you more great stories.
Thanks again for listening and see you next time.